The NTSB issues a safety alert on limitations of in-cockpit weather. Solar Impulse will try again for Warzazat. And a federal highway bill could play havoc with the national airspace system. This is Aero News for Thursday, June 21st, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The NTSB has issued a safety alert to warn pilots who use in-cockpit FISB and satellite weather display systems that the NEXRAD age indicator can be misleading. The actual NEXRAD data can be as much as 20 minutes older than the age indication on the display in the cockpit. If misinterpreted, this difference in time can present potentially serious safety hazards to aircraft operating in the vicinity of fast-moving and quickly developing weather systems. NEXRAD mosaic imagery depicts weather conditions from multiple ground radar sites. The NEXRAD age indicator on the cockpit display indicates the time that the mosaic image was created, not the time of the actual weather conditions. The NEXRAD image is always older than the actual weather conditions. The NTSB has cited two fatal weather-related accidents in which NEXRAD images were displayed to the pilot that were presented as 1 minute old on the age indicator, but contained information that was up to 5 to 8 minutes behind the real-time conditions. The board said in the safety alert that, quote, "The in-cockpit NEXRAD display depicts where the weather was, not where it is," end quote. The safety alert also reminds pilots of the importance of obtaining a thorough pre-flight weather briefing. After a first unsuccessful attempt to reach Warzazat, the Solar Impulse team remains determined to try again to land in southern Morocco, a region known for its turbulence and high winds. If all goes according to plan, the Solar airplane, designed and flown by Bertrand Piccard and André Borschberg, will depart from Rabat International Airport for its second attempt to reach Warzazat at 0700 local Thursday morning. The flight plans for the prototype to land after midnight, once the thermal activity in the area has stopped. The Solar Impulse team says the flight is an excellent opportunity to bring the Solar Impulse project to the next level, pushing the limits of the aircraft and the team. Having proven the technological performance of the aircraft, the difficult meteorological conditions will test the aircraft's aeronautical limits while preparing the Solar Impulse team in crisis and risk management ahead of its 2014 world tour. The choice to reattempt the flight to Warzazat is filled with symbolism. Despite the extreme difficulty of flying in this region, Solar Impulse wants to reach this destination because of what will be the world's largest thermo-solar power plant, planned to start production in 2015, and thus continue to provide its full support to Morocco's overall ambitious solar energy plan launched by the Moroccan Agency for Solar Energy. Should this flight also wind up back at Rabat, the team says it will continue to attempt to reach Warzazat until June 26th. House and Senate conferees are reportedly close to an agreement to move forward on a federal highway bill, which could have broad implications for the national airspace system and be particularly harmful to air tour operators, according to the Helicopter Association International. Though the bill's final language is not yet set, there is growing concern that once completed, the conferees will leave the Alexander Amendment as part of the bill. The amendment is sponsored by Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee. It would give regulatory authority for some portions of the national airspace system to the National Park Service and could prove very detrimental to aerial tour operators, to the point of denying some access to certain airspace and or giving preferential treatment to some operators over others, something that the FAA is specifically prohibited from doing. The amendment has received no congressional review to date, although it is opposed by the House General Aviation Caucus, which has sent a letter to the conferees urging them to reject the amendment. HAI is urging its members, whether or not they are air tour operators, to call the members of the conference committee immediately and urge them to block the Alexander Amendment to the highway bill. The obstruction of justice trial for Canadian hang glider pilot John Orders will not take place until next year. Orders was flying the aircraft from which Lenami Gadinas Avila fell during a tandem flight, resulting in her death. The charge against Orders stems from the fact that he swallowed a camera memory chip, which contained images of the flight. CBC News reports that police are still working to extract data from that chip, which went entirely through Orders' digestive tract. Orders has apologized to Godinez Avila's family for the incident. He was released on bail after surrendering his passport and agreeing not to participate in any hang gliding activities. The trial will take place before a judge with no jury and is scheduled to begin April 15, 2013. The reason for the woman's fall has still not been determined. International passengers arriving at the Ottawa airport will soon be subject not only to video surveillance, but also to enhanced audio monitoring of their conversations. The Canada Border Services Agency has nearly completed an upgrade of the video monitoring system in some areas of the Ottawa airport, including the primary inspection area for arriving international passengers. And the upgrades include new microphones designed to pick up individual conversations in the area. In answer to invasion of privacy concerns, the CBSA says it will post signs in areas where conversations may be recorded, directing passengers to a privacy notice on the agency's website. And it's not just arriving passengers who are concerned. The union representing the CBSA employees who work in that area has already expressed concerns about workplace conversations being recorded and becoming part of an employee's record. The CBSA already has audio and video recording programs in place at other unidentified sites at airports and border crossings. The agency says the technology can potentially be used in an effort to fight organized crime and smuggling rings at major Canadian airports. It would seem that in Canada, Big Brother is not only watching, but now he's listening too. When Aero News continues, what would make your dreamliner of the skies? How not to dress for Southwest Airlines, and honoring the candy bomber.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, June 21st. I'm Glenn Moyer. The new Boeing 787 Dreamliner is set to take to the UK skies this August and promises passengers a more pleasurable flying experience with larger windows and LED lighting. But a new survey of over 1,000 passengers by Europe's leading flight comparison site, Skyscanner, reveals what people really want to find on their dream aircraft. Although the single most requested feature was capsule-style bunks, 26% wanted facilities to reduce noise and the annoyance caused by flying families. 18% said soundproof sections for children to sit in was their most desired feature, while 8% would like to see anti-kick seats installed. Assisting passengers in their quest for relaxation, massaging chairs took the fourth spot, followed by free use of iPads in fifth place with 5% of the vote. A flight with a view was also a popular choice in sixth place, with almost 1 in 20 voting for transparent floors and ceilings that would offer greater visibility of the terrain below and the sky above. A single section, where unattached passengers could potentially meet, flirt, and chat at 30,000 feet, came surprisingly high on the list with 4% of the vote. And I didn't even know you had to have a special section for the Mile High Club. Well, just keep on dreaming, because unfortunately, Skyscanner says they know of no airlines planning to add any of the aforementioned luxuries to their fleets. While residents of the UK await for the arrival of the 787 Dreamliner, those in Japan have already had a chance to see the new aircraft, and they're complaining. Not about crying babies or the lack of a singles bar, but about the automatic dimming windows. According to Reuters, All Nippon Airways says the electronic dimming windows are not dark enough for long-haul flights, and they want Boeing to find a way to shed a little less light on the situation. As a stopgap measure, ANA is installing the old traditional pull-down plastic shades that we're all familiar with. Aside from the window shades issue, ANA says it is very pleased with its 7 Dreamliners so far. Apparently, some Southwest Airlines employees need their own pull-down plastic shades after a woman identified only as Avital says she was told she would not be allowed to board her flight from Vegas to New York until she buttoned up her shirt. At the time, she was wearing a black cotton dress with a flannel shirt and a scarf at the waist. Booked on the first flight of the day, the woman says she was just chatting with a gate agent when the conversation turned ugly as she was told she was showing too much cleavage. Stunned by the comments, she left the gate area, only to become indignant and self-conscious. She returned and boarded her flight, and amazingly enough, the flight made it all the way to New York without disruption. While acknowledging the airline's right to set a dress code, Avital says she's upset by the thought that any Southwest employee can seemingly bump a passenger based on their own personal opinions. Southwest has offered her an apology and a refund, but says their policy does allow employees to refuse any passenger deemed to be dressed in a lewd, obscene, or patently offensive manner. Southwest has had issues before with gate agents who've none too tactfully told passengers they were too fat to fly. Though she says she had no intention of being a fashion plate on the day of her flight, Avital says she likely will not fly Southwest again. Retired Colonel Gail Halverson's Air Force legacy is built on chocolate, bubblegum, and hope. Tuesday, leaders at Joint Base Charleston in South Carolina renamed its C-17 aircrew training building after Halverson with a dedication ceremony in honor of the legendary Berlin Candy Bomber. After World War II, Halverson was one of those involved in the Operation Vittles airlift that tried to help rebuild a demolished Germany. From his C-54 Skymaster, he would drop chocolate bars and other candy by parachutes to the children below. His actions inspired others in the airlift to do likewise, and eventually the idea caught on with American children who made their own parachutes and donated candy to be passed to the German children. The sweets falling from heaven came to signify the hope of a better life and told an entire generation of German children that there were people in the world who still cared for them. In the dedication ceremonies Tuesday, it was said of Halverson, quote, "His inspiration played a major role in saving Berlin and proved the concept of airlift as a strategic tool during the Cold War years and beyond," end quote. Now 92 years young, Halverson remains humble and wishes for the training building to be a reminder of those who sacrificed their lives in the name of freedom, saying, quote, "There are 31 American heroes and 39 British heroes of the Berlin airlift, and I'm not one of them. Today's dedication is not mine. The dedication is for those who gave their all for the cause of freedom. So I'm not here for myself. I'm here to represent them," end quote. Colonel Halverson's story makes you wonder what our world might be like if every soldier in every army of every land were supplied with a box of chocolate bars instead of bullets. The world would certainly be a sweeter place to live. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.